Alhamdulillah.
Hey everybody, welcome to Off the Hookah with Phil and Koopa. I'm Phil.
I'm Cooper. So this week we are talking about a huge departure from the Trump White House that caught everyone off guard and could shake up U.S. foreign policy in the Middle East. Bigly. But it's probably not the resignation you're thinking of right now. Last week, Jason Greenblatt announced he would be resigning. Jason Greenblatt. At the moment, it's not clear exactly why Greenblatt will be leaving the Trump administration, and it's difficult to speculate, but what is clear is the central role Greenblatt played in the president's ambitions.
Greenblatt served as a special representative for international negotiations,
Gesundheit,
which was a role established by President Trump when he took office. The role is exactly what it says it is. He's an envoy for complicated agreements between other countries. You might even call those complicated agreements something else. Oh, say...
Deals. Great deals.
Yes, Trump cannot be the only deal maker in the Oval Office. Now, before he won in 2016, he had talked about one deal that he'd love to make as president.
Israel, Palestine, that probably is the hardest deal there is to make.
Greenblatt started his professional career as a real estate lawyer in New York City until 1997.
This is Jason Greenblatt. Jason has been with me for many years.
Jason began working with Trump and rose to become an executive vice president and his chief legal officer. While working for Trump, he also managed a parenting blog with his wife Naomi called Inspire Conversation, where he writes on topics such as how to work hard and succeed, the art of negotiation, and ethics in the workplace and beyond. And who could make a better role model than his boss, Donald Trump?
You better believe it.
Having grown up in an Orthodox Jewish family of Hungarian immigrants and getting educated in Hebrew academies, Greenblatt grew up with an interest in Israel.
Now, Jason's very much a consultant to me on Israel, on everything, on Israel. He's a tremendously talented lawyer, one of the great real estate lawyers of the city of New York, and he has tremendous passion for Israel. When he goes on vacation, he goes to Israel. It's perhaps even his favorite place over Palm Beach. Is that right, Jason?
When Trump won in 2016, he hired Greenblatt in his new envoy role, which indicated that he was taking the prospect of a peace deal somewhat seriously. But Greenblatt's experience was concerning to many. Sure, he was somewhat familiar with Israeli politics, but only from reading daily email alerts from AIPAC. And he had no Palestinian context, none. Even admitting to reporters that the last time he had contact with a Palestinian was likely in the 1980s, when he was a yeshiva student at a settlement in the West Bank, where he also served as a volunteer armed guard.
So in his role as special envoy in the Trump administration, Greenblatt is considered the architect of the yet-to-be-released U.S. peace plan for the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, along with Trump's son-in-law Jared Kushner. Since its early days, the Trump administration has touted its mediating skills and fresh perspective to solve this decades-old dispute, but the plan's actual rollout has been constantly delayed over the last 2 years for one reason or another. Now it's believed that the U.S. will finally unleash this plan shortly after Israel's elections next week, and Greenblatt is expected to officially step down once the plan is out. Even though details about the plan have been basically non-existent, there's not much optimism for its success. And that's because Greenblatt, much like his boss in the White House, has been mostly in lockstep with the Israeli government. Throughout his time as special envoy, Greenblatt has been a vocal supporter of Israel.
Silence and rejection from the Palestinian Authority has led to nothing good for the Palestinian people.
But you have never criticized Netanyahu or the Israeli government.
I haven't found anything to criticize that goes over the line.
He's used his Twitter account to reprimand the Palestinians and defend Israel from criticism, using some of the same messaging as the Israeli government. For more on Jason Greenblatt, we asked Yusuf Manayer, a Palestinian-American analyst and executive director of the U.S. Campaign for Palestinian Rights.
Jason Greenblatt had developed something of a reputation of being particularly abrasive and annoying in his communication style. Primarily on social media, where he was widely seen by Palestinians as wholeheartedly adopting and then regurgitating right-wing Israeli talking points.
Also, to get an Israeli perspective, we spoke with Al Monitor contributor Danny Zakin, who also talked about Greenblatt's Twitter diplomacy with Palestine.
Jason Greenblatt was a persona non grata there. He was one of the biggest fans of Prime Minister Netanyahu and Israel in general, and his tweet on Twitter about Israel were always something that you can hear from the strongest supporters of Israel, and even some Israelis wouldn't like them when they saw them.
Greenblatt has been a proponent of Trump's many unilateral moves concerning major issues in this conflict, things like moving the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem and recognizing Israeli sovereignty in the Golan Heights. So while Greenblatt has met with Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas and other Palestinian officials in efforts to bring the Israeli and Palestinian sides back to the negotiation table, for the Palestinian government, actions have spoken louder than words when it comes to where Greenblatt and the Trump administration stand. And it's not hard for Palestinians to predict the direction this is all going for them in a future U.S. peace plan.
I think what we have seen instead is that the vision is taking place on the ground every day and is really manifested in a U.S. policy, which has been completely hands-off when it comes to the right-wing Israeli government led by Benjamin Netanyahu, allowing him to act in an unrestrained and unilateral fashion through, you know, the rapid expansion of settlements, through the demolition of Palestinian homes in areas that have not even been targeted for demolition before and are extremely sensitive. And, you know, even through, you know, annexation and moving in the direction of turning the de facto situation on the ground into a de jure situation of annexation and ultimately apartheid, because in the Israeli vision, Palestinians in those areas will not be enfranchised. So, you know, the deal of the century is, you know, taking place on the ground with the approval of the Trump administration, primarily being led, in my view, by the U.S. ambassador in Israel, David Friedman, who was appointed by Donald Trump, more than it is being led by any one individual at the White House. So I think that is likely to continue even if Mr. Greenblatt is no longer at the White House, and even if some plan, as much as it has been talked about, never sees the light of day. I just be sipping that juice. I just be spending for loose. I just be dripping in juice. I just be wet like I'm pools. I just don't care about no rules. I'm just a far with a tool. I just be killing you news. All of my guns, yeah, they blue. Fortnite, I'm getting a loop. Dropping the top of my coupe. Coupin' it came with no roof. Yeah, I just give it my juice. Say I hit a lick, alhamdulillah. Oh, you're skin dead, alhamdulillah. Never snitch, alhamdulillah. Oh, you're skin rich, alhamdulillah.
And we're back. When it comes to accomplishments, Greenblatt's track record didn't go very far. In July, the Trump administration held a conference in the capital of Bahrain, Manama. A conference that was meant to talk about the economic benefits of an Israeli-Palestinian peace deal, but it was missing two important factors.
Palestinian officials boycotted the conference in Bahrain.
Dead on arrival, the Israeli government is not invited to the Bahrain workshop.
And even without Israel and Palestine showing, most analysts waved off Greenblatt and Kushner's economic plans, since they're useless without a political resolution. Now Greenblatt's leaving, and just this week, President Trump fired his national security advisor, the Yosemite Sam of regime change, John Bolton.
Bye-bye. Wave goodbye.
Trump's foreign policy cabinet has always been a mixed bag of one-issue diplomats and holdovers from former Republican administrations, and Bolton's firing has been interpreted by some to be Trump's rejection of his hawkish tendencies.
John Bolton is absolutely a hawk. It's up to him. He'd take on the whole world at one time, okay?
But Greenblatt's departure is different. Unlike Bolton, he's been inside Trump's world for a long time, and his one big project hinges on the president's trademark aspect, the art of the deal. So I guess the big question is, what difference will Greenblatt's resignation make?
For Israel, Greenblatt's resignation comes at a tumultuous time politically. Greenblatt maintained very close relations with Prime Minister Netanyahu, who's benefited from Trump's major foreign policy decisions.
Hello, Jason.
How are you?
Welcome.
It's
a pleasure to see you. Hope we can do some good things together.
I think we're going to do great things together.
Wonderful.
Netanyahu couldn't form a majority government in June, so he's going to press his luck with a do-over election that's happening next week. And it'll be something we'll definitely be covering on the podcast later.
Netanyahu's mentioned that the peace plan will be revealed after the election, and despite his affection for working with Greenblatt, it seems his and Israel's mind is focused elsewhere. Here's Danny Zakin again.
Prime Minister Netanyahu immediately thanked him for his commitment to work for the peace and security of Israel. And he said that he always said the truth about those that curse Israel. And he said, thank you for that. Also, some other people from the Likud, no one from the opposition said anything about it, mainly because, you know, it's elections here and the issue of the Palestinians and the negotiations is not exactly an issue in the campaigns here. We are stuck with the other stuff.
So all of this discussion about Jason Greenblatt's role in the Trump administration and reputation in the region really begs the question, how will it impact the soon-promised reveal of the U.S.'s peace plan for the Israeli-Palestinian conflict? Here's Yusuf Manayer again.
I don't think Greenblatt's resignation is going to affect the deal of the century very much at all. I'm not sure that there is a deal of the century that will ever see the light of day as some sort of actual plan for, you know, how the situation should move forward, or a framework that, you know, captures the vision of the American administration for what a resolution to Israel-Palestine would look like.
Just from what Danny and Yusuf have told us, it's going to be Netanyahu's government that'll likely bemoan Greenblatt's resignation more than anyone, but expect the goodbyes to be short-lived. You guys still got Jared Kushner and David Friedman, who aren't going anywhere and will keep the lights on for the peace plan, even with Netanyahu and Trump facing tough elections. So it's fair to say that any thoughts that Greenblatt leaving will alter the Trump administration's overall policy towards the Palestinians are probably premature.
But that should, you know, create no illusions about any shift in this administration's policy, which is not a product of Jason Greenblatt, but really an administration-wide approach.
This has been Off the Hookah with Phil and Cooper, an Owl Monitor production. You can email us at podcasts@al-monitor.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Owl Monitor. And be sure to let us know what you think of Off the Hookah. Rate and review us on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening. I'd like to thank Yusuf Munayer and Danny Zakin for joining us on today's podcast, as well as the contribution of our writers at El Monitor.
This week we are playing some Saudi hip-hop. It's by a hip-hop artist named Skinny, who's also a producer and a visual artist. Skinny is actually half Saudi, half American. His parents met in California, but he was born in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. He released his first mixtape in 2014 entitled Ghetto Disneyland, and went on to release another album in 2016 called 1999 Parachutes. The song we played this week, called Never Snitch, is his latest single and was released this year. When it first came out, it peaked at number one on Apple Music in the Middle East. You can listen to more of his stuff in the show notes of this episode. Thanks for listening.